You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Do you know Kevin Kincaid from Crossing Broad?
I do not know him, no.
Yeah, he's a bit from...
Well, I know who he is.
Kevin Kincaid. I don't even know who that is. Anyway.
Yes, what an introduction. Thank you to Mike Missinelli, Howard Eskin, Old Dirty Bastard. It's another episode of the award-winning Always Soccer in Philadelphia program. And the last time he was on the show, I told him that he's got to come on anytime there's a big moment in Philadelphia Union history. And this qualifies because the Union are hosting Lionel Messi in Chester on Tuesday night. It's Messi Mania. And the only man that I can bring on the show to talk about it is it's Always Soccer in Philadelphia co-founder Dave Zeilin. Welcome back, my man.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I think I said I wouldn't come back on the pod unless the greatest player of all time would come to Chester. So
yeah.
Here he is. Here I am.
Yeah. Or Ray Gaddis scores his first Union goal.
I think I come on like once a year. I came on when Ray Gaddis retired. What was that, like 2 years ago? I know I'm retired. I came on last year with my son after going to the Eastern Conference Final, and now I'm back. So.
Well, all of those are similarly big things, right?
Gaddis and Messi are, pretty comparable.
We went from Gaddis's retirement to the Union finally made it to MLS Cup to Lionel Messi is now coming to Chester on a Tuesday night.
That just shows the growth of this game. I mean, like, what were we podcasting about in 2016 and 2017 every week? go back and look at the shows about the...
I know we should. I made a note to go back and listen to the remember the one that you and me and Matt did where you guys were sitting on my couch for like an hour writing out the top 25 most Philadelphia Union moments of all time. Yeah, and we went to like low, and then I paid you guys by buying you tacos afterwards.
I think I recall that podcast. It was the only time we put in any preparation and research.
That's right. Yeah. And like on this one, for this one, I have just a couple of text messages to you and like four things written out on my, the notepad on my phone. And then I gave people like a half hour to get questions and comments. And so that's how much preparation I'm doing for this one. You had me laughing. So you had me laughing so hard with the tweet about the form. I can't even like keep it together. I took the 2-year-old and the 4-year-old. We went to McDonald's right down the street because we just needed to get out of the house. And the 2-year-old had a fucking meltdown, like an epic meltdown, and was like laying face down on the ground at McDonald's. So we had to leave McDonald's. I'm like loopy at this point. I feel like I'm like on shrooms or something, but I don't have anything in me except I'm like at the end of the day, and I'm like frazzled. But you had me laughing so hard with the form because you had to fill out a form. So what was on the form? What did they ask?
The form is basically like, like you put your name down, your email, your phone, and it's like, will you be a season ticket holder like next year? This will increase your odds on getting tickets.
Okay.
And then if you said no to that, it's like, will you consider being a season ticket holder next year? And someone can call you. I think I put yes for that. And I don't think anyone called me, and I got shut out of the general sale anyway. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I've been loopy all weekend, to be honest, like thinking about where we were covering this team to like Messi being here. It's like, it is kind of hard to like comprehend. And just like me putting out that tweet about, you know, you had to have been at that game where
Should include questions like, have you ever driven to Boyd's, Maryland for a U.S. Open Cup game? And were you at the Union Stoke City friendly 10 years ago when Matt Cassel injured Breck Shea?
I don't know why that came up. I recall that game not being broadcast anywhere. So, like, we were in the press box. And, like, I don't even think there are, like, video cameras. So, like, we were tweeting out that, like, Breck Shea was hurt. And this is, like, right after I think he scored the winning goal in the Cup Final or something. And, like,
he was at his height there. We all thought Breck Shea was going to be the next big thing in American soccer overseas, you know. And it Unfortunately, did not. But Boyd's Maryland is like the key.
Yeah.
I mean, we drove down there multiple times. I remember this is before they didn't have anything live streaming there, and you barely got any kind of Wi-Fi in our press box. So we were tweeting like live updates as Carlos Valdez and Peter Novak were sent off. And then I think Brian Carroll and Daniel Woolard exchanged goals for the year. Remember that guy, Daniel Woolard? He used to wear the helmet, like Lord.
Yeah, Carroll scored it too there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was really fun. Like, you jumped in the fray and talked about some things about the Union OG fans. And then I got so many nice like responses from just random people. I got a photo of fans with Kyle Nakazawa, kids towering over Freddie Adu. People just like reminding me of random games when Freddie Adu was unbelievable. You remember that game when Freddie Adu was unbelievable in the first half?
And I got the Red Bull game, and then he got like sent off or something.
Yeah, he got sent off for like diving in the box. I had forgotten about some of the stuff, and it doesn't it feel like this really like weird fraternity of like people who like suffered through these games and now
it does. Yeah, some people didn't understand that we were joking because they're like, why are you guys gatekeeping the Messi thing? I'm like, no, we're not gatekeeping. We're just having a laugh. Like Dr. Rebecca Rizzo here put a photo with Kyle Nakazawa on. Looks like they're in a club, like in the suites there. And then this is from Zach. He said, "Did you travel across state lines to meet Freddie Adu at the South Philly Home Depot for the All Star Weekend?"
His kids towering over Freddie.
How many more weeks for Mo Adu to be available?
Don't worry,
Matt DeGeorge will ask.
That was the question Matt DeGeorge asked Jim Curtin every week for like 2 years.
There's some great trivia on here. Actually, I don't even know if I know this one. John, who's a loyal listener, he says, "Who were the goal scorers of the 6-2 victory in the 2011 match at Toronto?" You had the Justin Mapp brace. I looked it up.
I think Mapp had a brace. I think Mwanga had a brace. Nakazawa might have scored.
I think that was the only goal that Kyle Nakazawa scored. That's our third Nakazawa reference already on this podcast. You know it's an OG, an OG podcast.
Do you think other franchises have this kind of like weird fraternity thing where people? It just seems like with the Union, like the way they began, there weren't too many reporters there in a press box for the first few years. There weren't too many fans who were like actively engaged with us on Twitter. And then it just seems like the few that are still here, we just have this like bond, this relationship of like suffering through. And like, we're all thrilled to see Messi in the World Cup. Like, we know this league is going to blow up and become more mainstream with Apple TV. But nice to like dip back into that history to like remind us where we've been.
Yeah, to answer the question, I would say no, because like the Union came in with like nothing, you know. I mean, you didn't really realize it at the time because it was 2010, and it felt like it was so far ago. But they had no sponsor. They played the first two games at the Link. They had no practice fields. They had no training facility, you know. So like, you look at Atlanta, the way Atlanta came in, the way that Miami came in, and the way that like, even like Portland came in, and no, I mean, the Union had so much further to go, you know, from one side of the spectrum to the other, you know. And now it's just like funny. I'm like scrolling, I just typed in Twitter like Miami, Philadelphia or something, and I'm reading the responses from the like the new Miami fans who are just like Messi people, just follow Messi around wherever, and they're talking about how Philadelphia is going to be the biggest challenge for Messi.
I'm very excited to see this game. Like we can get into the game a bit. We can get into the ticketing, but the game itself, I mean, it's going to be fun to see Messi against, you know, Jack Elliott and Jacob Glesnes and Martinez. And
We can do that now. Cause there was a question in one of the fans had a question like, okay, so besides all the ticket talk and all the Lincoln Financial Field hypotheticals and all that stuff, like, you know, how do you actually play Messi? And I can say unequivocally that I would play the diamond. I would not play the 3-5-2 because they just get way too spaced out. And the last thing I want to see is like Messi with the ball while Jacob Glesnes is trying to haul ass back from the other side of the field, you know? Like, I think you go back to the diamond. I think you play Wagner, Elliott, Glesnes, Baizo, Blake. You can make a case for Harry. You make a case for Harry. Oh, yeah, if you're looking for more defense there. Jose Martinez is the key to the game, man. If he doesn't go 2 feet into Lionel Messi, then what the fuck is he here for, you know?
What are the odds he kills Messi and gets a...
Me and a cruciate. Yeah.
Apple TV just like takes Martinez's paycheck for the rest of the season after he destroys Messi's knee.
God, can you imagine? Because we joke about it, but right. I mean, like, nobody's really put a hard challenge.
I've been thinking about that. People spending $1,000 on a ticket, like, and if Messi like pulls his hamstring in training and doesn't make the trip, like, that's kind of a terrible thought. But like, what happens to those people? They just
There's no equivalent. Like, what is? I mean, you know, like, you talk about like the load management in the NBA or something, and you like your 8-year-old kid is really really excited to see Embiid, and then he's like has gastroenteritis or something, and he doesn't play, you know, and then you're like, oh, what now? But yeah, Messi's been like very like injury. What's the opposite of injury prone? Injury averse.
Yeah.
You know, over the years. Like, I can't remember him having like
You've been watching the games. He's like walking for 70% of
the time. He just stands there. He literally just stands there when the ball's
in. He makes perfectly timed runs and he like lulls people to sleep. And, like, I'm not blaming him. I would walk too. But,
they should seriously though. I mean, if people ask me strategically what you would do, I would just have Brujo just follow him around.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly,
even if he's just standing there, I'd have Brujo just stand there. The Union don't really man mark like in the old school sense of man marking, where you just have one guy kind of shadow one guy around the field. But Brujo can do that. You know, I'd play Jesus Bueno on the right. He's been playing great. It's been like a revelation in the last, you know, like six to ten games.
It's been fun to say he's been great. Torres, that ball to a set of Wagner. That was one of my.
How about the subs, man? That was awesome. Yeah. Subs pretty good.
I like Torres from the first game. I like the little guy, good dribbler. My son likes him. I guess his playing time has been kind of up and down. But that was a terrific ball.
His left foot. Just kind of turn and like play a blind, like cross into space, and then bang, bang, one touch. Yeah, I mean, Chris Donovan was good when he came on. You know, we
those are some funny treats to the Drexel Dragon.
The Conestoga Cruyff. Yeah.
The Colonial Athletic Association Player of the Year is playing the best player in the world on opposite sides.
Yeah, I can't wait until he goes up against Jordi Alba and Busquets and Messi. Who needs three Barcelona players when you have one Conestogan?
Yeah. We've had good luck with Drexel players. Ken Tribbett.
Yeah, Conestoga is like what, like Berwyn, like the Malvern area? Yeah, okay. Yeah,
that's out in Chester County. That's a nice school. I used to cover that.
So Bueno, like play Bueno on the right. You can play now. Do you play Flock or McGlynn? I think you know.
Yeah, is guys. I mean, I don't even know. Like, I'm not a reporter.
I think Jim said at the press conference the other night that I kicked a trash can by accident. Gajdag would be ready to play.
Okay.
Yeah. On Tuesday. Now, Carranzer, I don't know what I could just Google. I guess I should Google it right now while vamping.
Okay. And Ua, he's down on, right? Yeah.
Because wouldn't it be the most ironic thing if they make it this far and they're hosting Messi at home and then they're missing like both Carranza and Gajdag or something? That'd be the shittiest. And then how do you explain that to casuals, you know?
I think, that's kind of what. I kind of want to get into that too, the fans at the game. I mean, what do you have a sense too of the percentage of Union fans versus just people who want to get a look at like Messi, like maybe Philly soccer fans who have some knowledge there?
I don't, you know, and that kind of wraps into let's do that discussion first before we do the ticket thing. Yeah. Because you know, you're talking about hypotheticals, like you hear people say like, well, they should play at the Link. And, you know, the argument for that the arguments for that are obvious, right? You have 60,000 fans or 50,000 fans or whatever in there. You make more money. You make the game bigger, put them under the bright lights, so to speak. The front office cashes in, right? But the problem with that, number one, is like you just lose your competitive advantage. I mean, they're damn good at Subaru Park. So you're going to compromise that by, number one, just moving them to a different stadium. You got different locker rooms, you got different family area, you're parking in a different spot, you're just like you're playing on a different surface, you know, the advertising boards maybe 10 feet instead of 6 feet. It's small stuff like that adds up and takes you out of your comfort zone. So I would, you know, if we're talking about and just so we're being clear here, I have no idea if the Link was ever in play. Such a short turnaround, but
Matt, Matt DeGeorge said it was. He told me, and I think he put it on Twitter, that Curtin got some like interest from the Eagles right after the game about the possibility. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Like, why would you give up your home field advantage? Like, this tournament, there's a lot to be had by. There's a lot of money on the line.
Well, yeah, and look, I think the thing is this: it's like if you did that, but you could guarantee that X amount of the extra seats available by moving it to Lincoln Financial Field. What's the difference? 67,000 minus 18,500 is like almost like a 40,000 seat difference. Assuming you could sell out both of them, right? So how many? You can't guarantee that any amount of those extra tickets would be Union fans or Philadelphia Union supporters for the night versus just casuals or messy fanboys, But the problem is you can't guarantee that at Subaru Park either, because I don't know how many people, I don't know how many season tickets got their $50 ticket, season ticket holders got their $50 tickets and said, I'm going to sell it for $500. Yeah. I don't know. I got no idea what it's going to look like on Tuesday. I would be disappointed like that.
I mean, I kind of dipped my toes in the ticketing thing a little bit because I wanted to go. And yeah, I mean, it does seem like there is a group of Union fans who did try to buy at the season ticket price, which was still high.
Yeah.
And some wanted to sell it to fans they knew were Union fans. I think there are some who probably wanted to make a payday, but still to give to Union fans. It's an interesting dynamic. It's hard to blame someone for like wanting to make a lot of money on this, especially if they want to put it back into the team and for their kid.
Well, that's a good argument. I mean, if you make enough money off of this, hypothetically, again, that you can pay a big pay a transfer fee for a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, or make enough money to pave the parking lots. I don't know. Use the money for whatever. But again, it feels Bush League to be like, we're making special arrangements for an opponent because of the opponent's bringing a certain player here. It's like when they played the first two games at the Link back in the day, they played them there because they didn't have a stadium, because PPL wasn't built yet. And that was the only reason. They've never played a game at the Link. The only game that they've played, the only time they've ever moved a game into Lincoln Financial Field, as far as I remember, was the friendly. Were the friendlies, right, against Real Madrid?
Right, the Farfan. Was that the Farfan goal?
Yeah, Manchester United too. Yeah. But that's different. Those are friendlies, and they don't count. It's about money. This is a semifinal with the trophy in play and with the Champions League berth on the line. So wouldn't it be super Bush League to like say, oh, well, now we're going to go leave our fortress in Chester and go.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it. It's a quick turnaround to change venues too. Like maybe next, I heard people say like maybe like next year for the regular season game against Messi, they could do that.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, so.
It's not a bad idea. Because I don't, again, and people are saying like, well, doesn't this open the game up, don't you get more eyeballs on maybe the messy people come and they watch the Union and they like the Union and they're impressed and they become Union fans. Okay. But there's no guarantee on that. You know what I'm saying? It's like if I paid, let me give you an example. We had an electric dog fence on the property when we moved up here. Right. Then it was shitty and old and needed to be replaced. And some guy came over and said, I can do a new one for you and it'll be $1,300 and your dog will probably get it, but there's a chance that he won't. Right. I can't pay $1,300 unless I'm 100% sure that the thing is going to 100% work and the dog's not going to like electrocute himself, right? So it's the same kind of argument here. If you opened it up to 67,000 people, but you could guarantee that like 40,000 of them are Union supporters, then I would say go for it. But I don't know. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
You're talking about Baxter? Give him a shout out, Baxter.
Yeah. he was such a big part of the show back in the day. Now he just sleeps all the time.
Friend of the pod, man.
Yeah, yeah. That photo of you like strangling him.
I was kind of thinking that.
You remember that where you were holding the picture of you holding back? Yeah, where you were trying to get him to look at the phone and it looked like you were abusing him.
I love that photo. Yeah. Like what you said about the people going who don't care about the Union, but they don't like actively dislike the Union. They just haven't paid attention and they're basically paying $500 because they like soccer. They like Messi. I would be curious how many of them could be turned, like if Andre Blake makes a crazy save or Martinez just makes a good play tracking back on Messi, and if they love the atmosphere, if the Union win at the end, if they could be turned into Union fans. That probably wouldn't happen at the Link because you don't really have the same kind of atmosphere. I feel like if you're in Subaru, you kind of get a sense of what it's all about. And there probably will be a lot of first timers there who are willing to spend that kind of money to see Messi. And I mean, yeah, like we're not gatekeepers. Like we want to welcome people in who want to come in, who like soccer, who like Messi, who might be willing to be a Union fan. Like I'd be curious to see if that could happen. I would like to get
out. I just think that, yeah, I mean, the idea of you and of anybody calling you and me gatekeepers is like hilarious to me because
we've been trying to grow this team for
trying to get anybody to give a shit for like 14 years, 13 years, you know, so calling us gatekeepers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. No, we just want to ensure that there's a competitive advantage for the Union. So I'm looking at this is a column for Crossing Broad. It's not published yet, but it's almost done. And so I wrote out like four arguments for Lincoln Financial Field. Number one, more fans, better environment, bigger environment, right? Number two, the Union make more money off the game, right? Mm-hmm. Number three, it makes the game feel larger, right? Like in the city proper, you're in the Eagle Stadium, like, oh, this is like big, you know? And number four, it opens the door for casuals to get a taste. And, you know, hypothetically, you can help the Union make inroads with the 4-for-4 crowd. So this is what I wrote as the counterpoint to keeping it at Subaru Park, which is what I personally believe. I would have not even considered the Link. Number one, the Union play really well at Subaru Park. You don't need to mess up with a good, you don't need to mess with a good thing, right? I mean, they've played every Leagues Cup game there already. They're 8-1-2. They're 8-1-2 there in regular season play this year. They were 12-0-5 at the Subaru last year. You know, this is number two, bullet point number two. We just talked about this. You add another 40K tickets to the game. You risk the Messi fanboys buying them up. So it compromises competitive advantage. Number three, like I said, these guys have never played at the Link. Technically, the grass surfaces, I believe, are exactly the same because they installed that Tahoma 31 Bermuda like mixed grass that they screwed up in Arizona at the Super Bowl. And the Eagles were like slipping, sliding around. But the surfaces are the same. But again, it's like I say, you're not familiar with the locker rooms, like you're not familiar with the dimensions, like the lighting, you know, the comforts that you're used to, you know. Number four, short turnaround to get season ticket holders into comparable positions. So like, you know, even if they relocated everybody there and they had 3,000 people from the River End, where do the River End people sit at Lincoln Financial Field? You know, can they see? Does the noise affect them, the opponent, the same way? Number six, I think it's kind of important and nobody has really suggested this, at least on Twitter, but, isn't it a slap in the face to Chester a little bit? Like, oh, finally we have a huge game here and we're taking it away, you know? So what was the point of building there in the first place? If you're going to move, if you're going to have the flexibility to just not play there, you know,
should have built on Broad and Washington, like we said, right?
Oh, yeah, that huge, like, empty lot that you and I used to drive by.
It's not empty anymore. They're building up there.
What are they putting on there?
Just, like, one of those huge buildings with condos and
super. Oh, okay. Yeah. Not the Sixers arena, right?
No.
That's a whole other story
those are all good points. I agree with you on a lot of that. I mean, if they're, you know, just speaking from a fan perspective, that's basically what I am now, and I'm trying to judge it for me and my 9-year-old son. Like, what do I want to spend to go to this game?
Yeah.
If tickets were cheaper at the Link, you know, maybe that would get us there more. But at the same time, if we're like really high up, is that the same experience? I mean, I don't think so. So for me, you know, I think I spent $130 on the Eastern Conference final for good seats. And I understand this is going to be a lot more. I was a little surprised how much more it is. Speaking from a Union fan perspective, I know Messi drives it up. I was willing to go up to $200, $250 per seat. That was hard to find for a while. I think I did. I think I did kind of luck out. We can talk about that in a second. But I would be interested to hear from Union fans, like how they weighed the cost of this. Like people who really care about this team, who have been going to games. Everybody's financial situation is obviously I'm different, but yeah, like what do you think? Like, what if you're like a Union fan, what would you be willing to like spend like as a Messi markup?
I don't know, man. These are like hard for me because I haven't been in that mindset for any more than like a year now. You know, like I'm still you're out of sports entirely, right? For Penn, right? So I can't break out of this media thought, you know. Yeah. process.
It's hard for me too. Like I'm basically seeing it through the eyes of my 9-year-old son now, who loves the Union, who loves Messi. And
I'll tell you though, I'm not sitting in the press box, because I only go down to like one or two games a year. Last game I went as a fan. I took my 4-year-old. But I'm not – one of my things that I hated the most when I was doing the Sixers and, like, when I dabbled in the Eagles and other stuff back in the day is, like, when people wouldn't go to a game all year long and then the playoffs would come around and all of a sudden, like, you know, the TV stations are there or whatever. Oh, yeah. Like, I think the press box should be for people who are, like, there at every game or have a consistent presence or something. I'm not just going to be like, oh, I covered the team years ago. I paid my dues. Like, let me back in the press box for Messi, you know?
Yeah. No, that's going to be hard. That's going to be hard to manage. And I hope everyone who's been covering the team will be able to get a seat in the press box. I can't
Here's the thing. Well, yeah. do you remember the All-Star game from 2012, what they did for
the auxiliary? Yeah. The outdoor auxiliary press box, which I imagine they're not going to want to do for this, because that takes away seats.
Takes away from seats. Yeah. So they're probably just going to have to turn people away. But I don't, I mean, to answer your question, you get a twofer here though. I mean, you get to see the Union in the semifinal.
Yeah, exactly.
But you get to see Messi also.
Yeah, no.
So,
which is why I was willing to pay a lot. It has been interesting, like you said, because I come from a journalism background. I've been in the press box. I was covering this team for over a decade. I'm trying to transition more into being a fan with my son. So, I kind of tested the waters. I was like everyone else. I'm not a season ticket holder. I tried to get into the general ticket sale. I was in that line for like 5 minutes. The green guy.
Did the dude move at all? Because he didn't move at all for me.
The green guy didn't move at all for me, but my neighbor came over and did it on his phone, and the green guy did move and got all the way to the end. But by the time he got in, it was all sold out. So it is fun to see this. But I do think, I don't want to say it's for sure, but I do think someone in the River End was able to buy two extra seats at a season ticket holder price, which is still pretty high for this game, but it was a lot more reasonable. It's like
let me explain that real quick, because I make sure people like could get it, because I saw a lot of stuff on Twitter that seemed to be wrong. At least the way that it was explained to me by fans and via like my one contact down there is that if the season ticket holders had a choice whether they wanted to opt in or opt out of the league stuff. So if you were on the opt-in list when the Messi tickets came up, you got them at the price you've been paying this entire time, like $50 or $40.
Yeah, those guys made up.
Right. So, and then there was a second layer for the season ticket holders who opted out. Mm. They were given a 2-hour window Saturday at noon to get in early access, and they got 30% off of the market value, which was still a shit ton of money.
Yeah, so, so like River End seats, I think, just based on what I was told, is around like 200, a little bit more than 200.
Right. So they actually did get a discount on the general public stuff, but it was still, compared to what it would have been if they had opted in, it looked astronomical. Yeah. And then there was the third group of like people who were just shit out of luck, general public, just trying to get tickets, which were not.
And even shit out of luck for even like partial season ticket holders. I have a friend who's a partial season ticket holder, and he wasn't given any kind of option at the presale. So,
but here's the thing, right? Like I went in to try to do it with no intention of buying tickets, because I wasn't interested in going. I just wanted to get in the queue and see what it looked like and take a few screen grabs for social media. But if the general public went on sale, but there was like barely anything available, or they sold out in like 2 seconds, doesn't that suggest that the season ticket holders gobbled up most of it, mostly everything?
I would hope so. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know for sure, but yeah, I mean, I have a feeling it's going to be a pretty pro Union crowd, and there are going to be definitely like Messi people there, but I don't see them as being like huge Miami people dressed in pink. Like,
What does your gut tell you about that? What do you think the split is?
75-25 maybe.
Union to Messi people.
Yeah. That's my gut. What do you think?
I think it's 60-40 Union to Messi, but I think the pockets of Union fans are going to be like loud. And
and the Messi fans might not be loud for like random like Miami counterattacks that like Messi's not like involved in. Like, I don't know.
Let's just put it this way. It's like, they're not going to, I don't think it's going to be the Sons of Ben and the 134, like the corner creeps corner versus 134. I don't think there's going to be a lot of like yelling back and forth across the gap. You know what I mean? I think it's going to be a pretty tame, like front runner Messi crowd, but you know what I think it's going to be like, do you remember the 2014 US Open Cup final against Seattle?
course. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. It was, great, but you remember like that stadium wasn't full. They didn't sell that out.
Oh, wow.
But there there was like 14,000 people there, but they were really damn loud.
Yeah. It was a great atmosphere. That was the Vince Nogueira post.
Yeah. When you hit it off the post. That's what I think. Cause I think that you only need, you know, like 12 to 14,000 Union fans in there for it to get like pretty round. So even if the rest is filled with Messi fans, like I think you got enough to make a difference, you know. Yeah. I'm looking at the ticket prices right now. Sorry, I'll let you finish your point. I just want to make sure I explained.
We can get into the ticket prices. Yeah, and like I said, there are some Union fans who got tickets, and some probably want to get a little bit of a payday by giving it to Union fans. I know Union fans who have tickets and put it up on SeatGeek or StubHub, that's frowned upon, which I understand. And then there's some Union fans who got extra tickets and are selling them at basically what they paid for. And that's where I think I lucked out. So I'd like to give a shout out to Tim Lovengooth. Did I say his name?
Yeah. Tim's the OG Union guy.
He's an OG Union guy. I've been talking to him forever on Twitter. He writes about the team. He blogs about the team. I asked him if it was okay to give him a shout out, and he said it was. And he's basically going to sell me 2 River End tickets he got for basically exactly the price he got them at. Like I said, it's still high, but it's a lot more reasonable than any other option I have. I was about to say, I tell my son that we couldn't go. We were going to have a party here at our house, watch with his friends. But he reached out to me today, and I'm very grateful. My 9-year-old just got back from camp. He's super excited, loves Union, loves Messi. He's never sat in the with the Asunza pen before in the River End, so that'll be a fun experience. I might have to put him on my shoulders or stand on the seat. I told
good for him, man. That's pretty sick. That's a hell of an opportunity. And like I did hear from people who said, because here was the discrepancy. It's like people were complaining about the opt in opt out thing, but even the people who opted in were like, you know, if you had 2 season tickets and you got your 2 Messi tickets for $50, right? If you wanted to bring 2 more people with you, if you usually go with your brother, but you wanted to bring like your dad and your uncle, in order to get 2 more tickets for them, then you got to pay like $300 each, right? So it was prohibitive to people to season ticket opted in season ticket people who wanted to expand their group. You know, now if this is the case where like with you and Tim, like he got the extra tickets at the general public minus 30%. And ended up going to you, another Union supporter, and your son.
Yeah.
Then maybe it'll be more.
Yeah.
Maybe the skew will be different than I think.
It seems like a lot of Union fans tried to do that. So, I mean, that's what I hope. To any Union fans out there, I'm going to be new to the River End. So I told my son to prepare for a lot of cursing. I think he knows some of the chants. He knows, like no one likes us, we don't care. He's a fan of that one.
Yeah. Is he gonna do you suck, asshole? Is he gonna participate?
I told him we have to say like Messi sucks. He's like, what? Seriously? I'm like, those are the rules. When you say something,
trial by fire, kid. Yeah, welcome.
But he's ready to go. We're very excited. Thank you, Tim, again. If you're in the River End and you happen to see a former journalist you might recognize and a 4-foot kid trying to steal for everybody, come say hi. Be nice to him. He's a big Union fan.
That's funny, man, because I remember when you told me that your wife was pregnant, that we were like on the road to Red Bull Arena or something like that for like a 2013 game or whatever. I can't believe that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at SeatGeek right now, and standing room only resale is $340.
That's lower than it's been, I think, too, right?
Yeah, originally it started out as like 400 or something, and it says amazing deal next to it. An amazing deal.
And isn't that so funny to you? It's amazing.
Yeah, let's not editorialize here, SeatGeek. Honestly, like what's amazing and what's not, you know what I mean?
I just can't bring myself to spend more than 3 times the Eastern Conference final game, which was an amazing game. We had good seats for like $100 and I understand, like I get it, but it's just hard to figure out the whole like Messi premium. And
by the way, I would not like you know, I'm never going to tell any fan what they should and shouldn't do with their money. Like, would I prefer the place to be full of Union fans? Of course. But, you know, if you had to, if you got an increase in your season ticket prices and you can sell two tickets and make, you know, $800 off of it and wipe out that difference, and, or, I don't know, put the money in your bank account or your kid's college or something, you know, I'm not going to.
No, of course.
Poo-poo.
Yeah, and you could also do that like without going through the other markets. Like, just give to like Union fans who are willing to pay.
Like the ticket exchange on the
That's probably happening like a lot too. Like, there are casual Union fans who might have more money than others who are willing to spend, you know, $500 ticket. So yeah, I'm hopeful it's a pretty good Union crowd.
Okay, well I'm gonna rely on you to tell me, because I'm going to be watching at home on the couch. And I don't know, man, because people are always asking me, like, oh, are you going to Eagles? Oh, are you going to this? You go, I'm like, nah, I'm kind of just on like sit in my ass mode and like raise my kids, you know, probably because I went to like 200 some games with the credential over the years. And I just like, I don't know, I enjoy just kind of watching them on TV now. Yeah, maybe I get back into it soon. Yeah, maybe when the kids are older, like I'd go from team to team and do something like float around like a columnist, maybe, you know, that wouldn't be bad. You know, like go to the Flyers 1 week and then go to the Sixers the next week and, you know, do like the Sealski routine or something, you know? All right, let's take some questions here and then we'll wrap it up. Jimmy King says, how much, if at all, does this game help the Union grow? And does that only happen if they win?
Yeah, that kind of touches on what we said before. The only, like, there's still, like, you probably talk to those people, the, like, you call them the 4-for-4 crowd. I call them just like random other parents, like,
random.
There's still people that would be like, yeah, like, Messi's too good for MLS, which, you know, fine, is probably true. He's like too good for any league. He's the best player in the world. But there are people that would say, it's a retirement league. It's not gonna matter. Like once he retires in 3 years or leaves in 3 years. But I mean, I like to think that we could break through to some of those people still if more players follow Messi. If the Union can like beat Messi, I do think that would be a pretty cool thing.
You could leverage that. Yeah, remember the time the Union beat Messi? Yeah, I mean that would register with casuals. I mean, like that would help make some inroads and. With some people. I mean, if that doesn't do it, then I don't know what will, you know? What better way to say, well, the Union just took out Messi, right? Okay. You know, if you're not a believer now, then you're never going to be a believer. You know, I do worry if they lose, like, do you get this like reputation of being like a semifinal ceiling team, you know? And like, I go back to the same thing I was complaining about in April when they bombed out to LAFC in the second leg. And like, oh, is that the cap, you know? Can they go any higher than the semifinal? Are they ever going to win that second trophy, you know?
Yeah.
But that wasn't Jimmy's question. That's not like what casuals are thinking. Pat Mahatty says, how much pressure is on Ua? And do you think he feels it?
Yeah, well, they signed a new guy to come in. So
yeah, what's his deal, man? Is he even going to play in this tournament? They could really use him if Carranza is not 100, you know, percent. It's honestly, it's an Ura game because Miami's defense is not that great. I mean, like, I'm faster than Sergei Krivtsov at this point. And honestly, like, you're probably going to want to pack it in and be compact and, you know, deny space to Messi and get out and play direct and do what you do and play long balls and, you know, look up and just hit him into the channels. And I mean, it's a game that he tactically, hypothetically should be very good for. So I worry about him not really being in form. I mean, he just looks slow and he looks unathletic at times. I mean, he got shouldered off the ball the other night. I was just like, man, you know, like, you gotta go in with a little more oomph than that, you know, but, you know, otherwise it's who we turn into, like Quinn Sullivan and Chris Donovan again. So
Chris Donovan looked really good when he came in. Like, not only the goal, just like some plays he made down the line, just really like aggressive and on the ball.
I didn't think, you know, we criticized him a lot on the show earlier in the year, but like the rehab the Ray Gattis rule on the show where you say something negative about somebody, you got to say something positive about him. He came in and he worked his ass off and he had a couple runs like up the left flank where he was just doing what he could to hold the ball, kind of going one-on-three, waiting for some people to get forward and, you know, right place, right time, good finish on the goal. You know, I mean, you keep at it and maybe it clicks for him, you know. good for him, man. He deserved that because he worked his butt off when he came in. All the subs were good. Harry was good. Torres was good.
Yeah.
Flock was good when he came in. John had a similar question. Here's another Ua question. Jim says, do they even have a chance of beating Miami given the state of the offense right now?
Of course.
I don't know. Is it naive? Am I crazy to think that it's going to be like a 1-1 or a 1-0? Surely there's going to be a bunch of goals, right?
I think the Union can easily win this game. I mean, it's crazy to think Miami is this huge favorite. I understand they signed 3 great players, but the Union are at home and they have a damn good team, so it'll be fun.
There's some other random ones here. Dan says, can we get an Elliot Shore Parks bashing segment? I would ask a real question here, honest question to the listeners. Should I get Elliot on the show? Would you like to hear from ESP? Because ESP is a Union supporter.
Sure.
He's a soccer player. He played in high school. And he was at the Elliot was at the media game a couple months ago or last year, whenever the hell that was or whatever. Are we shunning ESP or are we going to extend an invite to him? DM me and we'll tally it up and we'll decide if we want to do that or not. I mean, are we going to gatekeep or are we going to let ESP on the show? We'll take your comments on that at 215-592-9494.
Are they going to talk about this game on the radio, do you think? Tuesday drive time talk radio, that's your thing. Are they talking about Messi, do you think?
We'll talk about it on the Fanatic because the Fanatic's got the radio rights. WIP, they'll talk about it, but they'll just pretend like they don't know anything. They'll be like, who does Messi play for again?
What's the biggest thing in Philly next week? Is it Messi? Is it the Eagles preseason game? Or is it Bruce, your favorite artist at Citizens Bank Park? Or is he at the Linker?
I don't know, but Lionel Richie is playing at the Wells Fargo Center the same night.
Oh, wow.
Lionel Messi,
all right,
is playing in Chester. So no, the Eagles preseason by far, man, it's hurts season all the time.
What a week!
I have to say, I'm very proud of myself and Kyle Pagan because we've done jack shit about the Eagles over the last month, ever since training camp started. We've purposely tried to avoid it because we know we're in for a.
You would never make it in talk radio in Philly. If that's
your No. Those guys tell me straight up. Here's a little piece of inside information. All the regulars at both of the stations are like, man, I'm burned out on the Eagles. That's what they tell me all the time. You got to play the hits, man. I mean,
greatest soccer player of all time is coming to.
Messi's coming, right? Who does he play for? He plays for Orlando.
Argentina, right? Yeah, World Cup. Was it the World Cup? Yeah.
Anyway, let's get it back to Trey Turner. Did the standing ovation save the season? We're going to get your phone calls coming up next. But first, here's Merrill Reese with Bradford White Water Heaters. I got a love-hate relationship with sports radio because all those guys are cool. And,
I feel like we made this, analogy, 6 years ago. What if the greatest soccer player of all time is in Philly? Would they give it any coverage at all? And now it's, happening. Yeah.
They'll spend 2 minutes on Messi and downplay it and act like they don't know anything about it. And then they'll be like, meantime, Taiwan Walker, is he a pussy for getting a rest? Should his arm not be sore at this point in the season? We'll talk about that, And, what's your level of concern with Marcus Mariota right now? He had some good plays with his feet, but couldn't hit the broad side of a barn against the Ravens the other night. It's like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not saying my thing with all that is we've done a version of that podcast every 3 or 4 years. Eitan Shander came on the one time and I'm like, they don't even talk about the Flyers on the radio. So we shouldn't be naive to think that they're going to talk about the Union. But I do, when they do mention it, they don't hate it. They don't I don't expect Joe DeCameron to break down the diamond, but he's also not just outright shitting on the sport,
Which is an improvement from 10 years ago when
it is progress.
Columnists were actually shitting on soccer, it's a terrible sport.
Maybe all of our work is starting to pay off, Dave. All the hours that we put in.
Is it our work or is it Messi's work? I think
it's the work of the Philadelphia Union franchise and Jim Curry.
Equal parts Crossing Broad and Messi.
Ernst Tanner. Shout out to everybody who was there when Rice and Boley got chipped. against Chicago and
thing, like this league, like people think like just like Messi is going to transform it, but this league has put in the like groundwork to really make this thing work with the infrastructure, now with the Apple deal, with the soccer stadiums, with the youth structure. Like we know that because we've been covering this thing for a long time, but the casual fans coming in like wondering if what's going to happen like with this league. Like we know they've been building towards this moment. So
I would also, here's the other thing I would do. I wanted to make this point before we wrap it up. I would have Brujo follow Lionel Messi around. If Gajdog is back, I would have Gajdog just stand on Sergio Busquets' left shoulder.
Okay.
The entire game. As much as I don't want Messi touching the ball, I don't want Busquets to have it any time and space either. You know, Jim has said this. Jim said this on this podcast like 2 years ago. He said, you know, the one thing that we do is we try to have them play the ball through their weakest player. You know, so let Arroyo get on the ball. Let Krivsov get on the ball. Make Kamal Miller come forward. You know, these teams are trying to play these open games with Messi and just flying up and down the field. And Dallas scored 4 on him, but they also conceded 4. You know, so I do think the Union are like at least on paper, built to kind of do what you need to do tactically against them. You know, so
they're gonna win. I'm predicting a win right here.
Give me a score prediction.
I'll say 3-2 Union. Actually, it's probably gonna be a shootout. Let's be honest. Every freaking Union game is a shootout.
I think it's a 2-2 or a 1-1 with penalty kicks again. I think we go to PKs again. I just
there's that one day where I watched a shootout in the morning, a shootout in the afternoon, and a shootout at night. I'm like, what am I doing? It was the U.S. women's national team lost in the shootout, and I watched the Arsenal Man City had a shootout in the afternoon, and then the Union won a shootout at night. I'm like, I can't handle this.
Oh, God. Yeah. Somebody asked me, they're like, are you going to get into the Megan Rapinoe and Alexi Lalas thing on the podcast at all? And I was like, I don't think so. Rather, I don't think I'd touch that one with like a 40-foot pole, you know? I would need like a whole hour to just, I'd rather give myself a lobotomy than talk about that thing. But yeah, it's always soccer in Philadelphia. It's not always national team political disputes, right? So, Union versus Messi Tuesday night should be a barn burner. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. I'm at peace, you know, with whatever the ticket situation is going to be. I'm happy that you guys are going to be down there. Enjoy it. Tell Noah I said hi.
I'll take some pictures. I'll tell Messi you say hi if I see him. I'm curious about the like mix zone situation. Like, is Matt DeGeorge going to get anywhere near Messi in the post game, or is that like? I have a picture on my phone of Tannenwald interviewing Zlatan when he was here. So he talked outside the locker room. Were you there for that?
No, that was after my time. Yeah. He talked
outside the Galaxy's locker room. When
John's not there, but John's not back from New Zealand or Australia.
Yeah. You feel bad. Tannenwald's across the world when the greatest.
He's doing what he'd rather be doing anyway. So I'm sure the Inquirer will send like an intern or something. So.
You would hope they'd have like a columnist there, but
we should get Gelston down. You think Gelston's going?
I was gonna text him and ask if he needed any backup coverage. I said
Dan Gelston from the Associated Press, by the way, is who we're talking about. Like notorious soccer hater, like just absolutely hated soccer. Yeah.
He's come around a little bit, and he's written Union articles like semi recently, and he was there for the All-Star game 11 years ago. Is
that what it was? Well, you know, just a decade between appearances, you know.
I mean, I hope the bigger like sports writers in the city will come, and hopefully there's space, but I hope there's room for the people who have been blogging, like the Philly soccer page and the Brotherly Game. That goes back to what we touched on in the beginning. Like these guys are basically fans. They're writers. They care about the growth of sport. Like no one's making any money, any real money, like writing about this game. That they just love it and they care about it. And I'm honestly happy for them. I'm happy for a lot of the writers. I'm happy for the Union. I'm happy for the fans, the longtime season ticket holders. Like this is a cool thing.
It's not about gatekeeping anyway. It's about just, you know, giving credit where it's due, or like rewarding people for, I don't know, putting in the time. And, you know, if you sat in the press box for, you know, 5 years of dick, then like, yeah, you should have a higher priority on the you know, the figurative list here or something. I don't think that's gatekeeping. I just think that's like, hey, these guys have been showing up. These fans have been showing up. These writers have been showing up. So give them the right of first refusal. You know, I think that's all anybody's asking here. I don't think it's got anything to do with choosing who can't and can't go. We're not saying people should be, we're telling you who should be included and not telling you who should be excluded.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, man. Dave, everybody.
Yes,
great to have you back on, man. My co-host, the co-founder of the show.
Thank you for having me. Go Union. I guess I could say that now in my non-journalistic role, and looking forward to being in the River End for the first time.
So the next bit, we'll get you back on then for the next big thing, like when Kevin Durant calls Griezmann or something in the Union sign him or something.
All right.
All right.
I'll be there.